Welcome to Real Money with David Holland, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Unlike a lot of radio and TV personalities, David is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of financial experience. And because he actually provides advice to clients on a daily basis, our hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He also offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Holland Advisory Services and Holland Insurance Services are separate affiliated companies that share common ownership under Holland Financial. Commentary given during this radio program is usually pretty smart, but should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities should not be considered an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and financial planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual's situation, only if you hire David and his firm to help you, and only available where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. And now, brace yourself. Ladies and gentlemen, here comes the unfiltered truth about money, investing, and retirement planning from a man who will give it to you straight. No bias and no spin. Here he is, David Holland.
Welcome to the program, ladies and gentlemen. We're excited to be with you, and we have, you know who it is, right? Here he comes.
The fastest 5 minutes in finance with Scott Connor.
And we are here, really. Scott, how you doing?
Terrific.
You look pretty chipper today.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Good markets always help my mood.
All right. Well, tell us all that has happened and what's to make of it.
Well, Tuesday's trade, you know, we came off of the long weekend. Europe didn't, so all eyes were on Europe Monday. But for Tuesday's market, the Dow was up 125, NASDAQ up 33, S&P up 14. Those are good numbers. We'll take those anytime. Volume is super thin.
Well, you say that, you know, going into a weekend, especially a long weekend, that the traders want to offload their risk.
Yeah.
And so they took it off on Friday and then they put it back on.
Yeah, they really started taking it off on Thursday.
Okay.
Because everybody wanted to get out to the Hamptons. But got money back into the equity markets for Tuesday's trade, which is a nice thing to see. Money still coming out of commodities. Gold down 13 at 1555. Oil just about flat, still closing above that $90 price range. Tens at 175. I did at one point on Tuesday see tens at 171. That's low. So
that's
money is
low.
Still going in there. And the euro, all the way down to $1.25 at the close. It was actually inside of that for a little while during the trade on Tuesday as well.
Well, here's a question. Is this the, you know, we've been talking a little bit about, you know, we have our little investment committee meetings, you and I and Kaylin, and we get together and we talk. Is this the kind of the firming up of a new bottom that's going to, you know, give us hopefully some, a base to work on to run toward the end of the year?
I think so. I think
okay.
It is. I think if you just sort of dropped out of the sky and put yourself in front of a computer and found out that the Greece elections failed, that Spanish banks were going to fail, that we were creating jobs at 100 to 120,000 a month pace, you would think that we would be down 15-20%, but the S&P is actually up 5% for the year. So that's showing me good stability. I think the safety net system in Europe is just so much more robust than it was last year that's really going to keep things together.
So getting all that in place is helping people get more comfortable about the impact of Europe on our U.S. and domestic markets.
Yeah, because it's all about risk, right? So less risk means that we can try to generate some more return. But, you know, that's where we are right now, and it won't be too much longer before we start really talking in earnest about elections and who knows what else. But for right now, I think that's where we are.
Okay.
For Tuesday's trade, Facebook, there really isn't a whole lot going on corporate news-wise or even economically until the end of the week. But Facebook shares, whoo boy, they are suffering. Closed inside of 29 on Tuesday's trade. That's from, remember the IPO price was 38. This is just 2 weeks ago. And it traded up to 41 now, all the way down inside of 29.
Well, the ticker is FB, right?
Uh-huh.
They're going to change. If it keeps going this way, they're going to change it from Facebook to Fallback.
Yeah, it's been a rough trade. There's no question about it. Down 20% of its value since the market debut.
Not good.
Yep. So, you know, it's just another example of the name is not as important as the fundamentals behind it, because there is a lot of concern now about slowing growth for them.
You just don't go all in on anything.
Yeah. And we talked also about, last week we talked about the difference in revenue from laptops to the difference in revenue from handhelds, phones, and
the
things like that.
The click-throughs and
yeah,
ads.
The revenue is really going to be a problem for Facebook, I think, going forward, unless they figure out a way to more effectively monetize the handheld clicks.
Okay.
So we'll see what happens with that. But overall, it has been, you know, we're starting to wrap up May here, and it's been a pretty rough month. Major averages on track for their worst monthly drop since September. Now, if you remember September of last year, it was a brutal month.
Brutal.
We haven't seen anything like that. But still, markets are doing okay for the year. European shares closed higher on Tuesday. There's some more concern about Spanish banks. There are a couple banks that are going to merge. and some banks that had their credit ratings downgraded, and Spain's credit rating itself downgraded by Egan Jones to a single B from a double B negative. And that really was what got the Europe trading soft.
Well, they're at the 10-year treasuries and Spanish version of our 10-year treasury. Their 10-year note is 6.3% on the rise.
Yeah.
It's getting into dangerous territory.
Yeah, once we see that above 7, it becomes a big problem. So we're always keeping an eye on those. Most investors, retail investors, don't watch fixed income markets, but you have to watch those because they really tell you where the so-called smart money is pricing risk. New poll out of Greece says that their austerity party has a decent chance in the upcoming elections on June 17th. So we'll see. That's a big change in sentiment from, you know, we're going as far left as we can go and forget the rest of Europe. So we'll see what happens there.
Hmm.
Also from China overseas, some good news. They came out and said, we're going to do whatever we can to make sure we don't have a hard landing. Growth is slowing in China. There's no question about that.
Aren't they just going to do something with currency trading with Japan?
They have a couple of different tools. The big ones that they're doing right now is that they're fast-tracking loans for infrastructure construction. So that's a lot of money going into the system. They also can manage currency a little bit. On the economic front at home, home prices ended the first quarter at a new post-crisis low. But better news for Tampa and Miami. Prices increased in Tampa and Miami. And then as we look forward, the only thing that's really going to count this week will be Friday's unemployment figure for the month of May. We're expecting probably 8.1% unemployment and a relatively paltry 150,000 jobs created.
Okay. Not good news, but we'll hope for better numbers ahead. Thank you, Scott.
Yep.
Have you noticed most of the financial literature available is either so specific it doesn't apply or too generic to answer even the most basic questions? This revelation inspired David Holland to write his first two books, Confessions of a Financial Planner, Secrets to a Secure Retirement, and How to Get Great Advice and Avoid Financial Scams. These how-to guides contain easily accessible information on a wide variety of topics concerning personal finances. An effortless weekend read, you'll find clarification on what a mutual fund is, how to choose the right financial professional, and much more. Call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN to request a free excerpt from David's first book, Secrets to a Secure Retirement. The number again is 888-747-7526. Or visit davidholland.com for more information on this innovative book series.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I have a special guest in the studio with me today. Of course, all my guests are special, and you know I say that all the time, but I just love having people on the show that I think can help you and provide some insight to you on your finances. And sometimes it's even a little bit of a stretch when we talk about voice lessons and maybe some of the other areas. But today, I have a guest that is smack dab in the middle, as we say here in the South, of your financial picture, and that is tax and accounting work. So I have a special guest in the studio, Brandon Perry. Brandon, morning.
Good morning, David. Thanks for having me. I'm doing well.
Good, very good. I'm glad to have you on the program because, you know, tax work is so integral with everybody's financial picture. I mean, it's just such an integrated thing.
Absolutely.
And so having you on is very helpful. Now, just a quick background for our listeners. We're going to talk about a couple different things today. You know, what's going on for 2012, what happened last year, 2011, and then, of course, looking forward to 2013, this big tax cliff.
Right.
So, sure. But before we do that, just quick background on you. Now, I've known you for, golly, it seems like at least a dozen years.
I think that's, yeah, correct. So we used to meet at CPA meetings.
That's right.
Town, yes.
Getting that CPA continued education that we have to stay sharp.
Right.
You are based in Daytona Beach.
Correct.
Your office is on Clyde Morris. You're just north of the Twin Lakes Medical
that's
Building.
That's right. Just north of the Twin Lakes Medical Center.
All right. Very good. And you are an independent practitioner.
Correct.
All right. Very good.
Sole practitioner.
All right. And so tell us a little bit about what you do, you know, kind of what's your practice. I know you do a lot of tax returns.
A lot of tax returns. The practice with is a heavily influenced tax practice, but I like to call it a full service tax practice. So, you know, that involves corporate tax work, estate and gift tax returns, and also, you know, the individual tax work. But really also encompasses a great deal of planning as well, you know, throughout the year and everything. So, you know, like I said, a full service for all your tax needs, if you want to.
Okay,
put it that
well,
way.
That's fair. I think people understand that. And there's a big distinction between, you know, a CPA that does full service tax and accounting work like you do versus you know, the tax service that pops up and rents space during tax season and then disappears.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I appreciate you bringing that one up. Yeah, I mean, you know, those types of organizations certainly have their place to file, you know, it's a compliance situation of filing returns. Generally, they don't have a whole lot of influence with you throughout the rest of the year, if any. And they certainly aren't involved in a bigger picture of your planning and getting to let you know what to expect from your tax return before it's done. It's all just all after the fact compliance.
Yeah, you and I were talking before about, you know, the difference between tax planning and compliance. You know, whether somebody comes in to see a CPA like you who's here year-round or they just deal with the compliance end of it, whatever's happened, you know, 2011, whatever somebody did in 2011, when you're sitting down with them in March to do their tax return, you really can't change what they did in 2011.
That's absolutely correct.
Unless you want to get real creative,
so, and yeah, and that's right. The bulk of what, you know, I like to think that I can do for people is in the planning area, at least to make them aware of what they're expecting or to answer questions and to, you know, to meet with them throughout the year to see what how things are going so they can anticipate what may happen and also help them help answer their questions or concerns. And especially if they have businesses, there's different things that you could, you know, it all relates together. Because once what you said is true. Once you get to the end of the year, to file the return is important, but that's a compliance. It's a compliance issue at its heart. There really isn't any more work to be done. Some of my most interesting work is done in December every year when I meet with a number of clients for their, you know, their year end planning, and then try to project what will happen when their taxes are actually due.
And also, of course, for business clients, you know, they have needs throughout the year, and then maybe they're working on, you know, hey, Brandon, I'm thinking about doing this expansion, or I'm thinking about buying this or entering into a business arrangement or whatever it may be. That's pretty integral with what you do.
Sure. There's a lot of that that goes on. And the tax laws, of course, are constantly evolving and changing. And, you know, for example, different levels of expense write-offs are allowed in your business depending on what type of equipment you may purchase throughout the given year. You may want to take advantage of those purchases before the end of the year. A lot of times people don't realize, both from a business and individual perspective, that what you're really looking at in a calendar year is extremely important. I mean, that December 31st date is in effect a cutoff, a cliff, and it seems obvious, but a lot of times if you don't sit and think about it, you know, a lot of times people won't pay their personal real estate taxes before the end of the year. If they write that check for their personal real estate taxes on January 2nd, that is a deduction in the following year, not in this year. And they may think it was because they got the bill back in November, et cetera, but it's actually, you know, individuals being on a cash basis, you have to actually write that check before the end of the year. So the calendar year is very important.
Yeah, and the other thing, of course, you mentioned that I think is real important for people to keep in mind, and that is that, you know, the planning that goes on during the year. Because every time we hear a legislator or anybody in Congress or the president, anybody talk about simplifying the tax code, it usually means there's another 1,000 pages coming, right?
Sure.
So this is stuff that you can kind of keep your clients up to speed on, and so the planning that needs to be done is throughout the year.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Definitely.
Very good. Well, if you're just joining us, we have Brandon Perry, CPA, principal at Brandon S. Perry CPA. That is his firm. He's an independent CPA. His office is on Clyde Morris in Daytona Beach. The telephone number is 677-7823. We're going to take a quick break, come back. We're going to talk to Brandon about the big elephant in the room, which is the 2013 tax cliff. Stay tuned.
What's your dream? Play golf every day of the week? Turn that hobby into a new career? With careful planning, you can make it happen. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your no-obligation consultation. At Holland Financial, we want to help you take the first step towards making your dreams a reality. That number again is 888-747-7526.
All right, we're back, and as promised, I asked Brandon to talk with us about this tax cliff. So I have Brandon Perry, CPA, in my office with me today for the program. Brandon, what is this big thing that looms just over the horizon for 2013 as it relates to taxes?
Specifically as it relates to taxes, if nothing is changed by Congress before the end of the 2012 calendar year, when we wake up January 1st, 2013, basically there's a lot of the tax cuts that have been in place or the tax rates that have been reduced over the past decade or so are set to expire and revert to in three areas: income taxes, payroll taxes, and estate taxes. all three of those areas face issues with reverting to old rates that were in place prior to this year and prior to, you know, the last decade or so. Like I said, that would create higher taxes in each of those three areas for, you know, for taxpayers.
So if you're an investor, if you are a worker, or if you are deceased, you're getting a tax
right.
increase.
Yes.
No matter what. We're dead or alive, you're getting
dead
a tax
or alive,
increase.
And of course, yeah, your heirs will bite that bullet if that's the case. And you know, unfortunately, as we sit here now, the common question is, what's going to happen? Is that going to change? Do we expect that to hang in there or not? Do we expect changes to be made? And we just don't know. I mean, it's hard. You can't predict.
And a lot of people are thinking, well, no, November 7th.
Possibly,
has to do with the election, I suppose.
Big problem is we won't know before then, because not a whole lot is going. And then the question in the literature you read now in the pundits out of Washington, etc. Will there be enough time? Will the organization happen? You know, and a lot of it revolves around obviously the budget issues that our government has, etc. And so there's a balancing act to be played. And the question is going to be: is there going to be enough time after the election, depending on what happens? No matter what happens, to get anything handled to help mitigate this potential problem.
Well, if you're just joining us, we have Brandon Perry, local CPA, offices in Daytona Beach, talking about the ramifications of tax code changes and all of this. And just to break it down a little bit, you know, so first off, for the investor, we've got capital gains tax is going to go up. If there's no change, capital gains tax goes up for the investor?
Yes.
Okay. Also, dividends go up. Dividend income?
That's right. Well, the tax rate on dividends is basically at the long-term capital gain rate right now, and that would revert to ordinary income.
And there's going to also be another political football is the healthcare-related tax.
Right.
That's also on dividend income.
Right.
And
that's
so
right. Medicare tax.
Yeah. I've done some calculating. If your income's high enough, you could be at 43% tax bracket on your ordinary income, dividend, and things like that.
Yes, because also your ordinary tax rates are projected to go up as well. Right now, the highest tax rate is 35%, and it
goes could, back to
39.6.
Okay.
Right.
I'm keeping up with my tax code.
Yeah, I
okay.
see that. Pretty impressive.
And then on the one, of course, that affects a large percentage of the population, payroll tax. What's going to happen there?
That's the 2% reduction on the employee side of your... So out of every time somebody, anybody, any worker gets a paycheck, the amount that they've had to contribute on their side for Social Security historically has been 6.2%. Over the last 2 years, it's been 4.2%, currently 4.2%. That would revert to back up to 6.2% as well. So every paycheck, you know, every worker would get 2% less.
So $2 per $100.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And last but not least, or maybe it is last because we're dealing with inheritance and estate, we're looking at right now, the estate tax only affects a very small percentage of estate tax returns. It's at $5 million, right?
Correct.
And then it reverts back to $1 million. Wow. Okay. So that's really going to be a steep drop.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. So we're talking about that getting reduced by the estate tax exemption getting dropped all the way back.
Right. That's right.
Wow. Okay. So that's a huge increase for people with estates.
Well, what you're going to see is a whole lot more people potentially hit by an estate tax. You know, whatever the number is, if it's less than $5 million, then because your estate tax is based on the value of all of your assets at your death, your home, instead your
life
IRAs,
insurance,
your life insurance policies, any other retirement accounts, etc., investment accounts. So it's, you know, when you just look at the numbers, a $5 million number is $5 million of value is a higher number. A lesser number can hit a great deal many people.
Well, you don't need to be a CPA to know that there are a whole bunch more people that have less than $1 million than have over $5 million.
That's right.
A bunch more people. All right. Okay. We're going to take a quick break and we'll come right back. Stay tuned.
There are hundreds of annuities available in today's marketplace. How can you know if one is right for you? Certified financial planner David Holland answers this question and more in his educational booklet on annuities. To get your free copy, call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN. The annuity booklet provides a plain English explanation of the different types of annuities so you can decide if one is a good fit for your situation. Again, that number is 888-747-7526.
All right, we are back, and we are demystifying the tax code with Brandon Perry, CPA, local CPA, Daytona Beach. Been here for a long time.
I have.
You went to Stetson, didn't you?
I did go to Stetson. I went to high school in DeLand High graduate.
So you're a local boy.
I went to Stetson University. and I've actually been in practice in this area for 17 years.
Wow. That's a good run.
Thank you.
Good for you.
I enjoyed it.
Well, if you want to get a hold of Brandon, he obviously is very knowledgeable with the tax code and what you need to do to plan ahead. 677-7823, 677-7823, or you can Google him, or you can go to his website, bperrycpa.com.
Correct.
All right. So we know some stuff's got to be figured out for 2013, and we're not there yet, but it's, and again, it's very political. All right. So we're in 2012, though.
Right.
So what do people need to know about between now and the end of the year, things that they need to be thinking about that they actually can have an impact, like we talked about earlier, tax planning versus compliance. They can have an impact on their tax return that will be filed in 2013 for 2012.
Yeah, there's a number of things that you need to be aware of and to focus on. Certainly, always want to max out your retirement plans, the ability that you have to put money into, if you have an employer-sponsored plan to utilize in that end. Any donations to charity need to be made before the end of the year. If that's something that you're looking at and that you're interested in, that can be a big help. Of course, as I mentioned earlier, making sure the property taxes and so forth get paid by the end of the year. Of course, the overriding theme, though, is, we don't know. It all sort of does revolve back to the 2013 issue, because if we expect, or if we find out that the tax rates are going to be higher next year, then you may very well want to defer some of these expenses, like your real estate taxes and so forth, into 2013, because you'd be saving more per dollar on everything that you expand on.
Well, and people do this often, and there's nothing wrong with this. There's a big difference also between tax avoidance and tax minimization.
Correct.
And tax minimization is legal. Tax avoidance is not. So somebody could do some timing with, say, for example, they have a property tax, a big part of their tax situation.
Right.
Obviously, they could pay one year, they could pay December, and the other year they could pay January and get kind of two property taxes in the same year.
That's right. A lot of that's a common process to use too, is sort of the bunching up of deductions into one tax year, or moving income if you have the option to do it into different tax years. But again, and that is a tool that we use and we will continue to use, and it becomes all the more important when you get to the issue of what rate, if there's going to be a much higher rate in 2013, all this becomes, you can talk in general terms. Normally, everyone thinks, and it's not uncommon or unwise to think, minimize my tax in this current year, right? Because I'm talking about time value of money. I want to do everything I can to have a less check, to write a lower check April 15th of next year. However, sometimes we have to be aware that it's potentially a higher, more bang for your buck to have a deduction next year rather than this year. And that's where all that planning during the year comes in. That's where paying attention to the rules and the laws as they change comes in, and that's where we can help.
Yeah, I mean, there are times you needed to, if you pay a little extra this year, you might pay a lot less next year.
That's right.
And who knows, the Mayans might be right, and we might have to worry about it at all.
Yes, that's right.
I'm not paying any taxes this year, and next year won't have to pay it all either.
Estate planning moot.
Well, I've got to ask you this, Brandon, because I know that you just finished the 2011 tax returns, the compliance function. You probably have a fair number of people that are still on extension that weren't able to get all of their information together.
That's right.
But you did do a lot of tax returns. And so share with our listeners some of the things that you saw that were probably the things that stood out during this tax season that can help them in looking forward with what they do in the future.
Okay. Yeah, I had a couple of areas that I was thinking I would think about. More and more we saw this year, more than ever, a number of either corrected forms from brokerage houses or forms that just weren't received until after April 15th. I had a number of people that filed returns for, didn't realize they were going to get a corrected form, didn't realize they were going to get any kind of a form on maybe an HSA contribution, something like that I've seen. And they're just now getting the forms this week.
You're kidding.
And so that's one thing to be aware of, is pay attention to everything that's in your, make your professional aware that everything that you have, because if that everything that's potential to be a form to be received later, because then you have to make the decision, do you go back and amend your tax return? If it's in the IRS's favor, obviously you should amend your tax return, but if it's in the taxpayer's favor, sometimes the decision to the materiality comes up, is it worth amending, is it worth going back? But I really did see more and more, and I'm afraid that's a trend that's going to continue as some of these things get more and more complicated, and different things are out there.
We can count on it getting more complicated every year.
That's right.
All right. If you're just joining us, ladies and gentlemen, we have Brandon Perry with us, and he is a local CPA, Daytona Beach, and he's helping us figure out the tax code. 677-7823 is his telephone number. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back, and he's going to tell us about some new things that happened this year. Wait till you hear this. Stay tuned.
Sometimes I know what I want to say, but just can't find the words.
Last week I shouted at my grandson, and I'm not sure why.
I saw my daughter, but couldn't remember her name.
The sooner you recognize the warning signs of Alzheimer's disease, the sooner you can do something about it. To learn more, go to alz.org/10signs. That's alz.org/10signs. A message from the Alzheimer's Association.
All right. Thanks for staying with us, ladies and gentlemen. Brandon Perry, CPA, is in the studio with me here. And we're digging into the tax code. And Brandon, we're going to have you back because there's so many things we can talk about on the radio. But before the break, we teased the audience to let them know some new things you saw this year that they really need to know about.
Yeah. Just a quick follow-up to where we were before, too. One of the forms that you will receive or you could receive that you may not be looking to receive is a form on some debt forgiveness. You know, unfortunately, in our economic climate right now, we have a number of instances where mortgage forgiveness, mortgage foreclosures, debt adjustments, etc. Those forms are another famous form for coming in sort of after the fact, and that needs to be dealt with potentially on your tax return. It's a complicated area, but there are some potential exclusions for the debt, etc. But
as far as the IRS is concerned, debt relief and debt forgiveness is income.
Is income unless you can exclude it based on something in the code. And there are some areas of exclusions, but there's much more detail to be talked about.
Have you run any situations where there's like and maybe you wouldn't know because it wouldn't be part of the deal, but where by virtue of some sort of agreement that the taxpayer has with the debt holder that they won't notify the IRS?
I haven't seen that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've heard of that.
I have too. And thankfully, I guess I haven't seen that one yet.
All right. They won't tell you, Brandon.
That's right. That's right. And maybe I don't know it. Yeah.
Well, the other one that really is startling and of significant concern, of course, is the other one you want to talk about.
Yeah. The area of identity theft. It's cropping up more and more in society in general. But this year in my practice, I had four instances of tax returns that we filed. And as we filed them, the IRS responded and said, "Hey, you already filed. You already filed under that Social Security number." And so we had to go back to the client. Client had to contact the IRS. They're still, most of the cases are unresolved. The IRS, I will say, has been fairly fair working with the taxpayers when they've been contacted on this issue. But it's still time consuming, still frustrating, still scary. I had one individual who had not filed last year for years, an older woman, only filed this year because she got an inheritance from a family member. And when she filed, she got a notice saying that she owed $10,000 for filing a frivolous tax return for the year before last, which she hadn't filed anything. And she knew that, and we knew that. And so that's one we're still working on resolving with the IRS. Somebody filed under her Social Security number to attempt to get a fraudulent refund.
That all makes me sick. So the advice to our listeners, file early.
File as early as you can. Of course, that kind of goes in the face of the corrected returns, but it depends on the nature of your return.
Well, you'd be better off filing early and then do a corrected return later than to leave it out there where somebody can try to get your refund. It's all about getting your refund, right?
Yeah, all about getting your refund. If you do file, actually, it's believe it or not, it's safer to file it electronically than it is through the U.S. mail and the identity theft issue specifically. If you do mail your return, make sure you take it to the post office in person. Don't put it outside the front of your house in your mailbox.
Put the little red flag up that says, "Come get my mail."
That's right.
Come steal my stuff.
Yeah, watch out for that one. And really, unfortunately, other than standard identity theft procedures that you would take in general with all your transactions, your bank accounts, etc., there's not a whole lot else you can do. But just to be aware of it keep checking back for your refund if you're expecting one, and let the preparer know if you haven't received it after, let's say, 6 to 8 weeks. Let them know they can check on it for you.
Yeah, we've been talking on the radio. We've had a guest on talking about identity theft protection and some of these plans you can have. So that is something that people can think about, and we'll be doing another update on that. But Brandon, you're right on the money, and I was cringing. I knew you were going to tell me that you have had some of that, and it's really a sad commentary on where we are and what's happening in the world. So not good stuff. Well, we've been joined today, ladies and gentlemen, by Brandon Perry, CPA. His office is 1655 North Clyde Morris Boulevard, Suite 2, Daytona Beach, Florida.
Okay.
And his telephone number is 677-7823, 677-7823. Of course, you can Google him and you'll find him. He's got a nice website. Brandon, thanks for being on the show with us today.
Thank you very much for having me.
All right, we'll have you back and we'll talk more about the intricacies of the tax code.
Want to learn more about Real Money with David Holland? Visit us at realmoneyradio.com, where you can listen live or to the archives. You can also email us your questions, comments, or show ideas to info@realmoneyradio.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook at Real Money with David Holland and keep up with Scott Connor by following us on Twitter at Real Money Radio.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.